Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
This is Culture Club HTX
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
From the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Lisa Holland Nelson and Siobhana Roberts Schreiber.
Hello, I'm Lisa Holland Nelson Bowman Lombardi, the fashionista, bio babe, Coach Nelson, greatest coach who never walked the sideline in football, and also transitional.
No!
Just that.
Queen of transactions.
Queen of transactions, my new title.
Yes.
And I am here today with my beautiful, brilliant, bossy black bestie. God.
Siobhana Roberts Schreiber, the other half of Culture Club HTX, the eighth wonder of the world, the executive producer, and the parliamentarian that I'm telling you what has been working hard. For my money this year.
It's really
this 2026. Hey, man, it is a tough job. You would say that again. All right, so our first segment today is community. And so there's your folks at UT. What are y'all doing?
I'm so excited about this.
You're excited about everything UT.
Well, I am excited. I think UT is a great school. And if
we know.
It, it'll stay that way.
Okay, get on the rails. There you go.
Very difficult. Yeah. UT McComb's MBA program is moving out to Town and Country to the former Marathon HQ building. And it's been, I don't know if you know this or not, but it's been in the Texas Medical Center, you know, and so that was like constrictive.
Yep. Parking, everything.
Yeah. I mean, they signed a 10-year lease for the sixth floor of 990 Town and Country. And basically, they're going to be able to grow from, like, I think 60 to 100 classes, 100 people in each class, which is a tremendous amount of growth.
Well, and the thing is, if you didn't know this, so this is the executive MBA program that in the Houston Outpost.
Yes.
And so it's also great for town and, for town and country, because that means all of these humans now will be there and they'll need to eat and, you know, do all these different things that they need to do. So all the restaurants and retail in town and country will get a bit of a boost from them being there. So that's great.
Them and the 17,000 McCombs MBA graduates, the alums that are in Houston.
That are in Houston, that go to events and other programming that happens at school. So, yeah, that's pretty huge. So, here we are.
Yeah. I mean, it's reasonable. It's an alternating weekend format of 12 hours of courses each weekend. I mean, it really is.
I know several
people
who've done it. Yeah. And I mean, and it's like this accelerated path. It's compressed, but I think in our world now where folks have all these competing responsibilities and distractions, it's like you get in, you get it all done, and you get out. So I feel like more programs are kind of going to this format.
Unfortunately, yes.
You said unfortunately.
Well, kind of. You lose the community of graduate school, which should be just such a great time in your life.
I hear that. Our friend JP, he is going, he's in a graduate program at PNC Bank with the other school in Texas. We won't say their name.
Not A&M?
Yeah.
He's at A&M?
Mm-hmm.
Why isn't he at Rice? They couldn't get him in the MBA. Well, the MBA program at Rice
I don't
is so
know
incredible.
Why. Yeah. Anyway,
why don't you know?
I don't know.
Was he an Aggie to begin with?
Listen, let's just never mind. Okay, the LPGA
I
Chevron
just have to get
chip.
The little school stuff in.
The LPA.
LPGA.
GA. I can't even get it
so
out.
So exciting.
The Chevron Championship is moving to Memorial Park. So we know. So first of all, last year, Culture Club HTX went out to scout at the tournament in the Woodlands, and it was great. I mean, it was a great tournament.
Been out there for a long time.
Carlton Woods, I think they did a great job. And now it's moving to Memorial Park, which has already closed down their driving range for renovation.
Right.
So, like,
the golf course is already renovated.
Yeah, but the driving range closed because I was going to go, and then it closed down. Anyway, so they announced just last week that they're bringing their tournament closer into Houston. This is great for us because, I mean, it really was very well attended. Also, Chevron is we're one of the five majors on the LPGA tour.
Right.
And we're one of the most prestigious ones, so that's great.
Which is great.
Yeah, which is great.
Not that the Houston Open isn't, but to have the more prestigious Women's Open.
And so now we will have back-to-back terms. So we
and
have
they are back-to-back.
Yeah, the Texas Children's Houston Open, which is March 26th to 29th.
Yeah.
And then the Chevron Championship, which is April 23rd to 26th.
So they'll be here in 2 months. I mean, they're coming right now. They're not waiting a year or anything.
Nope. And Jim Crane's Astros Golf Foundation, they manage both of them. Yeah.
Interesting.
So you mentioned the renovation. So, yeah, the course at Memorial underwent a $34 million in renovation. This is going to be great.
I mean, I'm so excited. And another $1.5 million facelift is underway with Houston Parks and Recreation Park partnering with the Astros Golf Foundation to improve the driving range. That's what you were saying.
Yeah, and it's already pretty good. Yeah, I mean, drainage. I think the they built the double decker, I guess, a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. So that's already in place. They're, it's lit. So if you're there, you know, after dark, you can hit balls at like 8 or 9 o'clock.
Interesting.
Yeah, but I think the grass is a bit chewed up. So I think that's probably what they're going to.
So
update.
The LPGA is only. They've only committed to coming in here for 1 year.
Well, they got to see what it's like first. They come check it out. Because, I mean, the Woodlands, I think,
smart
is going to be
women.
Pretty. Yeah, hello. I think it's going to be hard to compete because it's a beautiful course. Carlton Woods is a really nice course. So I think they're like, let's see. But I think they'll stay. I think
it's
the renovation.
Far out there.
Yeah,
though.
It is very far. Oh, my God. I was driving. I was like, where is this place? Literally. Yeah. Once you get off the highway, it's like another 25 minutes.
Yeah.
I was like, if I didn't want to go, I would just go home. Like, I mean, I just, where am I?
Guess what if it. Gone home.
I was like, where am I? Okay.
Yeah, she goes to these things, and I'm like, what?
I mean,
isn't it on television?
But it's great in person. It's so
I know,
quiet.
I
love golf
tournaments.
It's quiet.
Yes.
All right. So, Memorial Park, what's going
so
on there?
So exciting. Memorial Park unveils a World War I themed playground and visitor center. I think this is so cool. The Conservancy revealed details for Memorial Grove's new Camp Logan Playground and Visitor Center, set to open in 2027, featuring oversized World War I soldier helmets, replica hardtack bread, and army crates with authentic insignias for kids to climb, plus a Moody Nolan Design Center educating visitors on Houston's role training 70,000 troops from 1917 to 1990. I guess probably including my grandfather.
Probably.
You
so
know,
one
I'm
of the
sure
things-
he didn't escape going.
So I used to live in the basically in almost in Camp Logan, just across the street in Rice Military, which is the reason it's called Rice Military, because as you said, over 70,000 soldiers were trained there, including 200 women nurses and therapists.
Yes,
I don't know if you
yes.
knew that. And in Camp Logan, one of the things that it's known for, the black soldiers, there was a big riot like, you know, injustice, etc. And I think the city of Houston and the Memorial Park Conservancy have done a really good job with the historic markers that are there now explaining what happened. And so this is just adding to that. And so it continues to be. We love Herman Park. We love all the park space in Houston. And I think Memorial Park bringing something like this to the city just gives us another jewel in our crown.
And I
it's
think
gonna be great.
The more we can show the civilization of our city.
Yes.
The fact that we've been able to come through,
yes,
around all the things. That we, you know, like,
yes,
that we have done over the centuries to live together.
Correct.
I mean, seriously.
No, agreed.
We always look at it, address it, fix it, move on.
And move on, yeah. And I think, you know, we were talking last week with Tracy, the publisher Pelter, publisher and CEO of the Houston Business Journal, about us leading the pack. And I think we lead the pack in so many ways in Houston. And I think what you just described, our ability to come together, make stuff happen, and move forward.
It's kind of community first.
Yeah. You know? Hey, man, that's good.
That's why I get the big bucks.
That's good. Community
but it
first.
Is.
We
community.
Are.
We've
We're a community
always
first
been community
city.
First.
Hey, somebody needs to write that down.
I never heard my father talking about
any like weirdness,
racial. I never heard him talking about that stuff. I heard the stories of how they all felt at the University of Texas when the war broke. You know what I mean? Like in 1941 or what? I mean, I heard them talk about how people felt about stuff, but I never heard these guys felt this way or these.
Yeah,
know?
Like
I
mean, in a separate kind of way, more of a like you say, community first
always.
Mindset.
Always.
Yeah, that is very unique to us here in Houston. I mean, there are some, you know, whatever weirdos, but for the most part, yeah, I agree. Lovely, look at you. You're so good. We're a community first city. All right. So I think those are all of the community things. There was one more thing you said you wanted to mention that was in the community section. But I forgot. Did you remember?
Was it the zoo or was
I think we talked about
Google.
Oh, yeah.
Google's coming to Houston with their first store in the Galleria. And something else we're going to be talking about at some point soon.
Yep.
Retail spaces. Anyway, they're building a 4,500 square foot retail store. First H-Town location and only the second in Texas. So it looks like it's going to open in July. And it's going to operate like Apple stores, but I don't know what the Google merchandise is yet. You know, obviously.
But also, I think the other thing that's going to be interesting and why this is a community thing is that Google has, they actually do a lot of like community investment. So there'll be a lot of programming probably for students in the greater Houston area, at, you know, a variety of schools to come and experience and engage with their technology, which is great. Yeah. So we'll keep talking about that. And as we learn more, we'll be sure to let you know the 411.
There's a lot going on. We're going to be sharing it going forward. New ways of retailing, new thoughts around it. And I think it's real important for our community.
No, absolutely. All right. We're going to take a break.
I think we're done.
Are we done?
Are we done? Or are we? We're just taking
a break. We're taking a break. We're taking a break. Look at this one.
What? I'll say what, but then.
You see? This is why I'm the parliamentary. Okay, so we'll take a quick break and we'll be back.
Bye.
Are you a business owner and looking for a fun and low-cost way to advertise? Yes? Super! You should join our Culture Club HTX crew. Visit us at cultureclubhtx.com and click on Culture Club HTX crew or send us an email at connect@cultureclubhtx. You'll be happy you did.
You're listening to Culture Club HTX
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Now it's time to talk some business with Lisa Holland Nelson and Shavonna Robert Schreiber inside the Huntington Bank Studios.
Hey, everybody, we're back. I'm Lisa Holland Nelson Bowman Lombardi, Culture Club HTX co-host. They are going crazy today.
Who are you?
I have the weirdest people with me. Wait till you meet them. You're going to just love them. And she's here, too. you know who I'm talking about. And I'm Lisa Holland Nelson, Bowman Lombardi.
The fashionista.
Bio Babe. Stop laughing, magical. Which means Bio Babe, which means biography, not biology.
Surprise.
And Coach Nelson, the greatest football coach who's never walked a sideline and may never, but I've never called a bad play and I'm not planning to in the future. And I'm here with my beautiful, beloved, brilliant, bossy.
Oh, I was going to say. She's
black and best friend.
Shavonna Robert Schreiber, the other half of Culture Club HTX, the executive producer, the eighth wonder of the world, and the parliamentarian of the show.
A failure at best.
Yeah, whatever. Anyway, but it's enough about us. Who are we here with today?
We have such cool guests. And even though I'm the bio babe, you've done a lot of sucking up here. I think you should do the introduction. Now she doesn't know her place, so we're going to wait a second.
You know what? I'm not going to do the introduction.
We're starting at the very beginning.
You do it.
Okay, so we have this fabulous couple here, T and Matt Mitchell of Traveler's Table and Traveler's Cart. And a little special extra traveler something.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, that's right. She bought
it. Yeah. So I did.
Foreign fair.
It's been to Paris and
back.
Thank
you.
Yeah. So let's start at the very beginning.
Where did the two of you meet? Lovely dynamic duo, owners of Traveler's Table and Traveler's Cart. Where'd y'all meet?
So I'll give you like the PG-13.
Please.
Yeah,
please. Please.
We're on morning radio on the sports channel.
On Sunday.
No,
please.
Sunday morning at 8 a.m. on the sports
PG.
channel.
PG. Yes, that's good. Yeah. Go.
So he saw me somewhere first, right? You saw me somewhere first.
Matt stunned into silence.
Okay, I was working at Tiffany & Company.
Okay. Mm-hmm. He was buying a gift for someone else?
Yeah.
Ooh.
And no, well, I didn't know that at the time. But he saw me a few months later somewhere.
Uh-huh.
And he goes, hey, don't you work at Tiffany? And that's how the conversations got started.
Is that your version also, Matt?
That's pretty accurate.
Pretty accurate.
But the second place we... I saw her was in my apartment building, not in my apartment.
Yeah, so I ran into him at my friend at the time, West Ave, you know, it's called Arrive, where Tootsie's is. And I was in the community center just doing some work, and then that's where I ran into him, and that's when the conversation started.
Well, that sounds like there's more to come that we won't talk about now, but let's talk about the restaurant. So, what's the story behind the first restaurant, Traveler's Table, which is one of my absolute favorites?
Yeah, so Traveler's Table kind of came out of my background to some extent. I was in my 20s. I went to school in England, France, and Italy, and was a journalist, kind of got to travel around the world.
No wonder you're so proper. That makes sense.
Wow. And then in my 30s, I was in the pharmaceutical business, which I didn't love, and just had this idea of getting back to the idea of exploring the world through food and drink, which was what I was doing in my 20s. Mm-hmm. Fortunately, the pharmaceutical business was lucrative enough to do that. So I quit my job, sold the company, went to culinary school, cooked in a bunch of places around town, and then T and I started Traveler's Table.
Really?
Yeah. That simple. How long did it take?
There's a lot in between, but
How long did it take?
To, like, actually start?
I think we started looking at spaces, just looking at spaces 5 years before we opened.
Okay.
That's a long time.
Then, while I was in
while we were still working our other jobs.
I was a line cook. I was a server. I was a bartender. I was, front of house. I was played all these different positions because I was really passionate about having been in all those roles before I had to be in a position where I had to manage all those roles. Because I think it's really hard to manage something if you haven't done it yourself.
Wise man.
Yeah.
So, T, you have a bit of a background. Your family had some background in restaurant.
We had a small Vietnamese restaurant growing up in downtown Houston. So we served a specialty dish called bánh cuốn, which is essentially I would compare it to a steamed rice crepe. We were known for several dishes there. Mm-hmm. We had it for over 10 years. And then eventually my grandmother passed away. My mother took over, but she eventually retired. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was the last of being in the restaurants.
And then you meet this guy.
Yeah, I meet this guy. Obviously, I worked some other jobs after that, but I didn't think that I would be back in restaurants. So I feel like it was really full circle, starting in restaurants in my childhood and then owning restaurants today.
It's very different. It is full circle. It's an arc, but were you in the front of the house more than the back?
Yeah, I was always the front of the house at my family's restaurant. I would run the whole front, cashier. I would go to the back when they needed me.
Yeah.
But that's why I think it helps me with dealing with the chaos, is because I'm kind of used to it. Yeah. Right?
T's also selling herself a little short because
she
had a professional career as a operations and HR manager for several Fortune 500 companies, which actually everybody thinks we're in the food business. We're not.
No, you're
only
the
in the food business.
Business.
We're in the people business.
Everybody's in the people
so
business.
So T definitely helps.
So I was also an HR director worked for Hilton and Starbucks and bigger companies where I was managing a portfolio of 5,000 employees. So it really helped when we started the restaurant. I was able to set up a lot of the processes.
And bigger companies who lead with a people first mentality. You just mentioned.
Yeah, exactly. I worked for companies that invested in people.
Yes.
And so I was able to see that perspective from in a larger organization. I was able to take pieces of what I thought was best for the restaurant, and it's worked well for us there.
And it was something we were passionate about, was creating spaces where people wanted to come to work. They enjoyed being around each other, and that things were set up in the right way.
Mm-hmm. The dumb way, as my friend Charles would say.
Have you been to work yet?
Yeah, I think that's the struggle with a lot of startup restaurants, is you kind of everything's fly by the seat of your pants, and we were really passionate about setting up proper HR procedures. Mm-hmm. Everybody, both of our restaurants, we have health care, health benefits and things that aren't normal when you're just kind of starting up. So, I worked in places where, we went through this era of the health kitchen type chefs and things.
Yes.
And we didn't want any of that. We wanted a place where people felt empowered and embraced diversity, and a place where everyone felt welcome and empowered.
So this is key, and it's going to be a double question. But so you do, again, embrace diversity. You're celebrating cuisines from around the world. Why was that important to you in the first place? And then tell me what your day is like. A double whammy.
Well, for me, I guess the question about embracing diversity, I grew up in a in Memorial area, Houston is, you know, not the most diverse.
Not diverse. You could just say diverse part of. You speak truth here.
And I left when I was 15, and I got to see a great deal of the world. I, you know, went to school in England, lived all over Europe, lived in New York for 5 years, and I felt like that was what I. It made me much broader, more
Better human. You can say
better human. Yeah,
that's fine. Mm-hmm.
And I was just really passionate about creating an environment that where everyone felt appreciated.
That's
and,
okay.
You know, obviously I'm married to a Vietnamese woman, so, I, you know, this, and I think that's one of the things travel provides is, you know, we all get stuck in our myopic way of seeing the world through your kind of, you know,
memorial small lens.
Well, any lens. Like it could be, you know, you're from Humble or you're from inner city. Ooh, like you have your little, you know, narrow view of the world, and traveling really gets you out of that. You
Absolutely.
See how people live in other countries, and then, you know, obviously I married someone from a different culture. And
yeah, and it's not just about the food to us. It's about like being curious and open-minded about the world.
Yes.
And that leads to talking to other people and learning about other cultures. Mm-hmm. And so if that's our way of making the world just a little bit of a better place, I think like the food is like a great place to start, but it just like goes a lot farther than that when you think about like
I have a marketing idea that just came up.
Okay. I would love to hear it. Okay. Maybe not to, maybe today.
Sidebar. No, yeah.
And not on the radio.
Not on the radio. No, I like that. Okay, no, but I had a good idea that we'll double click on that. But then Lisa's second part of the question, you said what
tell
your
us
like?
About a normal day, which is not normal, but whatever it is.
Yeah, we get punched in the face. No, never just joking. No, not literally. No,
it's the Mike Tyson quote. Yeah. Everybody's got a plan until they get punched in the face.
And we get punched a lot.
I love that.
You know, and I think you experienced something like firsthand at the restaurant when you came in as a guest, and I was like, oh my goodness, they just like blocked off our whole restaurant for construction.
Yes.
Like, and that's just one example that's like, you know, obviously a big example.
We're going to do a Valentine's Day menu today. Oh, nope, you have no water. Okay.
Yeah, no.
Pivot.
Well,
swerve.
Psych. Yeah,
swerve.
Well, just nowadays, so we have 170 employees combined at both restaurants. So, you know, you have a plan, but there's always something happening, right?
Yeah.
And so we always plan for the unexpected a little bit, like the cushion in the day. But I will say that we try our best to do menu planning, and then we do HR things with payroll, and then we do, you know, planning for events. So like right now we're already planning for Valentine's Day.
What are you planning?
Lunar New Year.
That's fun. What are you planning? Talk about that a little bit.
So we have a 3-course prefix at Traveler's Table for $70 with 7 new items on there, just to kind of like come in and get something you can't normally get. We always bring roses in for the
considering this
others.
Is my Valentine. I need to hear about it.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah.
but we're launching new brunch items at both restaurants.
Oh, you have brunch at Cart?
Yes, we.
This one I don't.
We're
do
very
brunch.
Popular for brunch at Traveler's Table.
Oh yeah, I know. I've been to brunch there.
So we're launching several new dishes, which people get really excited about, and then but we're also launching new dishes at Traveler's Cart. So there's something to look forward to in the next few.
Lunar New Year is coming up.
Yeah.
Yes.
So it's all around the same time, actually. Yeah.
It's all around the same time. Exactly.
So is there a different Lunar?
There's red in all.
Yeah.
Of it.
So we hired a vendor to come out and do like a little lion dance.
Yeah.
At the restaurant.
So you're smiling, Matt's looking straight ahead. Okay. Is there more to the story?
No. There's lion dance and dragon dance.
Yeah, I'm going.
And,
I was going to say you mean dragon.
So
I've
lion
never
dance
heard
is usually
dance.
A little bit smaller. It's usually one or two of the head. Yeah, the lion heads. Uh-huh. Dragon dance is like a much bigger production, but we always have it at the restaurant.
I feel like you should do that down Montrose during the construction, since they blocked off your restaurant. You block off
the
street,
right? That would be really fun.
And build
actually.
A city for it.
Yeah, shout out City of Houston.
You want me to talk about the street of
Montrose? No, God, no. Oh my God, please no.
So the biggest challenge you think you faced, and how did you overcome it?
I mean, obviously COVID for everyone in the industry, but even this,
what did y'all do for COVID? You did something pretty spectacular, actually.
Well, so we were really fortunate. Tea was with Starbucks. So I was kind of, this is when we just had Traveler's Table. So Tea was still HR, one of the regional HR managers for Starbucks. And so we were really fortunate to be able to see what like a Fortune 500 company in the same space was doing as far as like spacing and, you know,
because it was
times.
Being updated every week, like all the rules.
And,
right?
You know, hand washing and how much, you know, space between tables and all.
Right.
So we were really fortunate with that. And then, you know, honestly, this year has been a big challenge, kind of unexpectedly with, you know, the turmoil over tariffs and inflation and immigration and all these things. Anytime there's a lot of uncertainty in the market, then people are like, oh, I don't know if I should go spend money at restaurants.
Oh, good point. So. Yeah.
Yeah. No, a lot of that.
Yeah.
Guess what? We'll be back with part two next.
I'm going off the rails on a crazy train. I'm going off the rails on a crazy train.
At Culture Club HTX, you know we want you to stay fabulous, which is why we've teamed up with Dr. Michael J. Streitman at Westlake Dermatology and Cosmetic Surgery. Dr. Streitman prides himself on delivering the gold standard of care to his clients. He's board certified and performs surgery in the private surgical suite at Westlake, as well as provides non-invasive services like Botox and fillers. If you're ready to receive the gold standard of care, make an appointment with Dr. Streitman today at westlakedermatology.com. And be sure to mention that Culture Club HTX sent you for a special treat.
This is Culture Club HTX
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
From the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Lisa Holland-Nelson and Siobhana Roberts-Schreiber.
And we're back. I'm so excited to still be here with the stars.
Are we still here?
And no, you're not. It's only me. I'm alone. I don't know where she went, and I can't remember her name.
Whatever.
But anyway, we're here with the fabulous owners of Traveler's Table
and Cart.
And Traveler's Cart, T and Matt Mitchell. And now we're really going to talk about the lessons that they learn and what's next for their fabulous restaurants. And we're going to hear a little about her apparel line, I hope, since
yes,
that's my life love.
She keeps weaving it in.
I can't help it. I am the fashionista.
Oh, yeah. And we have our idea that we're going to talk about later, too.
Well, yeah.
So as a couple, I think running a restaurant, we've already talked about this a bit. It's just, like you said, you get punched in the face, right? I mean, but then running it as a couple and those dynamics. So how has that been? How do you navigate that water, friends?
I mean, I think for the most part, it's been incredible.
No pressure, Matt, as all these women just stare at you. Say the right thing.
I think for the most part, it's been an incredibly positive experience. You know, not only, obviously, we share a passion for travel and food, and we have the same vision for how employees should be, you know, or how team members should be treated.
Yeah.
And then really, I like the guest service. Like, we see very similar, even though we came from different perspectives in life, like, we really align on all those things. So it's kind of like raising kids. It's like, as long as you have, like, the fundamental things and you're committed to, like, working through whatever challenges there are. And then I think we also have, like, different skill sets. Like, they kind of overlap at times. But, like, T's incredibly good with operations and human resources and systems and our media, social media marketing in particular. And I do more of the creative with the menus and the creating new dishes and kind of the big picture brand thing. So for me, I mean, maybe she's going to say that.
I just hit you with divorce papers. No.
That's adorable.
That's adorable. Okay, so T, would you agree? You have a different perspective.
No, from my perspective, I haven't met anyone honest in this world that is better at balancing creativity and business. Because usually with, you know, I think there's extreme stereotypes in the world, but, you know, some of those are truths where if you're super creative, then maybe you lack a little in execution or business acumen.
Yes.
And then if you are too far on the business acumen side, you have like, you know, it's the heart's not there as much, right? And so it's hard to balance both. And I think Matt does a really good job of balancing both for the business.
I feel like you're pretty stylish too, so that helps. That works. So what have y'all learned about each other on this journey? So you start this restaurant and you're like, okay, this is what we're going to do together. And then did you learn anything about each other?
I mean, I always knew Matt was very competitive with like just basketball and just in general.
Is that why you play basketball?
And he'll come home and then he used to go to the gym and he used to like have like
black eyes.
What? Oh, from like basketball.
Yeah, just like, and then questionable scratch marks, you know? I'm just kidding. But he said they're from basketball,
we
right?
We have an intimacy wellness consulting firm. I just want to point that out. Anyway,
that leads to his competitive nature, but it's like in the business world of running restaurants, just a little different, but he's always like looking for the next thing and helping us stay afloat and like being innovative and just helping being like having that energy. Because I think it's easy as a restaurant owner or being in the industry to feel sad at times, right? Like, you know, like it's not the, you know, fun all the time and you deal with a lot of challenges, but I feel like he does a great job of keep moving us forward.
That's awesome.
And, so for, you, and for me, there's no one in the world I'd rather be in a foxhole with.
What does that even mean? That means like in a tight spot.
No, like if, so
like
if you're
right now we're in a foxhole.
Yeah,
right?
So like if you're in a, if you're in a war, you dig a foxhole and it's just you and the other person there, and like, you like basically have to have each other's back.
Lovely, that's how I feel about you. Lovely, look. Aww. Look, you don't even care. See?
It's almost Valentine's Day.
You're talking to me.
Who else is lovely? Anyway.
Maybe. How did you decide which countries or dishes to make would make it onto the menu?
Yes, because there's
so
many.
Curate. I mean, because that's a big deal.
It is. And in fact, that's our tagline at Traveler's Table is curated global cuisine. Mm. So obviously, we're not going to represent every country in the world. and so most of the dishes, I think, have some either had them abroad or we've had exposure to them. Mm-hmm. Some of them have really fun stories about how we first kind of came in contact with them.
Yeah.
And then obviously it's we want to represent as much of, you know, we don't want all Asian dishes or all Middle Eastern dishes. So we also need to be very pragmatic and mindful of trying to represent things. And then also diversity of proteins. You can't have all.
What a great city to do this in, though, right? I mean, you're in the most diverse city in the nation. Yeah. And I'm just like thinking, which when I tell you my idea, you're going to be like, she's brilliant. Yeah. But yeah,
even if we weren't as diverse, our tastes are.
Yeah.
You know, because there's a lot of people that have experienced other.
A lot of things.
We're not a lot of born in Houston people.
Well, and so that's kind of part of like our mindset for the restaurants. The idea was to create this connection between food and travel and whether you've gotten to travel all over the world, whether or not you spent, you know, Christmas in Paris on a girl's trip or
wink.
Yeah.
It was adult spring break.
Adult spring break. Sorry.
Adult March. Spring break. For Christmas, I was on a duck farm, actually, in Louisiana.
Okay.
Diverse folks.
Right. But, you know, whether you've gotten to travel extensively or you've never left, your neighborhood, there's kind of something for everybody to explore the world.
It's interesting because I think maybe like a metric that I saw was like 50% of Americans even have a passport.
Yeah.
Something like that, right? Yeah. So if we can like encourage people to like, oh, what's this?
Mm-hmm. And then
right?
Then
and then encourage
go.
People to, yeah, and go. Yeah. That's a win for us.
Yeah.
So talk a little bit about the fast casual concept Traveler's Cart, which is my favorite. I love both, but I really do like Cart a lot, actually.
Yeah. So a lot of our guests say that they go to both, and sometimes they go for different occasions. But we're really happy to have a more casual option in the Montrose neighborhood. But it's essentially inspired by street markets from all over the world.
Oh.
And it actually has a more special
Traveler's Cart.
Yeah, the cart in the market. Yeah, okay. So it
references the cart. Like Bio Babe. We know Bio
Babe.
Right.
But I think for me, it's a little bit, it has a little bit more meaning just because my grandmother was a street food vendor in Vietnam. Before she came over to the U.S., and that's when she opened her small Vietnamese restaurant over here after coming over after the war.
Mm-hmm.
So we try to, represent, and have the feel of what it would be like going through a street market, whether it be, you be in London or Vietnam or, in Morocco and Marrakesh. Those are all places we've been and love, so.
And we wanted the same diversity of food at both restaurants, but, they're a little bit different levels of service and price point.
What are those biscuits that I love? So remember Magical? Those cheesy biscuit
things? Pau de queijo.
Where is that from?
Well, one, we have pau de queijo, which is
Brazilian one from Cart.
Brazilian
I like
cheese
Cart.
Bread. And then the ones at Traveler's Cart are pan de bono, which is a Colombian cheese bread.
And they're gluten-free, folks. Oh, yeah.
And
it's
you,
so good.
You love
I'm
the
going
guava
to Colombia.
Butter.
I need to know everything.
She's going to Colombia. Okay, so because we could talk forever. So we have we want to talk about your line, and we also want to talk about what's new. What's new for our next?
Okay, well, I have also a travel clothing line. So,
it's
called Foreign Fair. We say dress for the journey.
You're just so on brand.
I can't even stand it.
So
I love
perfect.
It so much.
But I it's hard for, at least this is how it started for me.
You have it on.
I have half of it on.
Yeah, so that's the best. Lovely. That's the top of your best.
So Lisa actually, how we met each other is Foreign Fair is actually in David Peck's store.
Shout out to David Peck.
Yes, shout out to David.
Fountain View in San Felipe.
Yes, and my clothing line is there, and Lisa actually bought the vest.
The day before you were going to Paris, right?
Right, the day before. I think it was
literally
the day before.
We
were doing an event. Yes. We were doing a salon that night, and I don't even know how I got over to that.
We were just sitting there like, you know, bebopping around like we do.
And I'm going, what is this? You're there. Yeah. What is this?
And then I think he told me, because I think y'all had a different event.
Yeah, she bought one.
You actually, they told me that you actually put it on in front of the crowd.
I did.
And said that you bought this for your trip.
Yeah.
And he was like, just FYI, this was very genuine. It wasn't like anything that we planned for.
Yeah, it just happened.
And just want to let you know, these ladies loved your line. Aww. I was like, oh my God. I felt the love and support. So anyway,
let me tie the three together. So the idea for the clothing line is to be stylish but versatile, if you're going like on a trip. Like we went to Taipei fairly recently, and we went to like a Michelin star restaurant for lunch in like one of the world's tallest towers, and she could wear the full traveler or sorry, full foreign fare ensemble, and then like, you know, pivot a little bit, and then we went to the night markets to eat dinner.
And then wear the same thing
like,
all day.
And maybe change it up a little bit.
Put a scarf.
The zippers are just, I love zippers to begin with. But
that's what
great.
You need when you have travel clothing, is you want to be able hide to fly in something and then walk into a restaurant in Manhattan and hide having that diversity.
Zip up your passport also, which is very important.
And as like a consumer, I didn't find a brand that I could really buy stuff, but I just kind of had to search for a bunch of different brands. And so I was like, I really want to create something that women can just know it's like, you know, wrinkle resistant, comfortable, made well, chic, really stylish, and they can, you know, trust that they can take this on their travels and not have to pack too much.
Love it. Okay, so next,
what's next?
So we're really excited about both brands. We like to say they're sort of like two children from the same parents with the same DNA. One's just the one that's like the daughter living in Manhattan that eats in like, you know, Michelin-starred restaurants and stays at boutique hotels. And the other one's like the bohemian one backpacking around the world eating street food.
Not
me.
Not us.
But we love both our daughters, right? So we're really interested in expanding both. You know, obviously some are more suitable for certain markets. You know, Traveler's Table needs to go into more of a, you know, more upscale environment. And Traveler's Cart, we think we could open up a lot more of those because at a lower price point, there's just a lot more options. So we're really excited about looking for opportunities for both.
Awesome. And then there's
Are you looking for investors? Or are you doing it by yourself?
Always open to investors.
Okay.
We just actually, you know, everything's been bootstrapped through us.
Yeah, Lisa Transaction. We're adding Transaction to her name.
So we haven't had any investors.
Yeah, we took the risk ourselves, and now we're interested in bringing in partners that can help us grow. Okay. For sure.
Yeah.
That's a good thing to know. That's a good thing for our listeners to know for us to know. Yeah.
And then one last thing, and we'll just plant the seed because we all will touch and agree it's going to happen. Isn't there like a longer-term vision of like a boutique hotel?
Yeah, so that's my long-term vision. I don't know if Matt agrees.
But I'm like, I don't know if Matt knows.
Hi,
but
surprise!
But it's going to happen regardless, so, you know. But we really see this as like a travel lifestyle brand. So
can I live at your boutique hotel?
Oh, absolutely. We would have so much fun together.
I just want to live at a hotel.
But like having like foreign fare in the retail store downstairs.
I'll wear it every day.
Traveler's Table and Traveler's Cart. Downstairs, restaurant, boutiques, and then I could do the interior design of the rooms. I know Matt's looking at me like I'm crazy right now.
It's okay. Now, I'm actually fantasizing that I'm back in Morocco.
See?
I know exactly what it's doing and what it looks like.
And I would love to be in airports. Yeah. So we've been in two airport bids, and they didn't go through, and that's okay because. But I mean, I feel like the third one may
like
be the charm.
Like the other RFP got picked.
It wasn't us. It was I think I don't know how the
system
airports
work,
but basically management companies. Get you on. So we've been in two airport bids, and we would just be like so perfect for the airport.
You would be. Well, so we're going to touch.
That's going to manifest all that.
But we do kind of have essentially a parent company with this lifestyle brand. Travel is a lifestyle brand. It's called Travelers Collective. Mm-hmm. An idea of collecting, you know, kind of artisanal businesses around travel.
And the hotel group is called Travelers
that's
Collective.
That's going in there too. Yeah.
I mean,
God, you can't stop me. So
I know we're going to stop. Okay, this
are
has
we
been
out of time?
So yes, we are out of time. This has been fantastic.
Thank you.
Okay.
So tell people how to make reservations, how to come see you, where they need to go.
Okay, so TravelersTable.com, TravelersCart.com. We use Resy for both of our restaurants. So we take walk-ins at both restaurants. But if you want to make a reservation, we highly encourage it.
Make a reservation.
Instagram.
Instagram, Traveler's Table Restaurant, Traveler's Cart Restaurant.
And you can go by Foreign Affair at...
Foreign Fair.
Foreign Fair.
Foreign Fair.
At David Peck?
Yeah, at David Peck Store. Yeah. We're in the Thompson Spa. Oh, okay, awesome. As well. And online.
Awesome.
But we are not encouraging Foreign Affairs. It's Foreign Fair. F-A-R-E. Yes.
You know what? We're going to go to a break on that. Thank you. Great to have y'all on.
We'll
Thank
be
you
back.
So much. We'll be back.
Thank
Bye.
You.
Then you're left in the dust. Unless I stuck by.
Do you love listening to Siobhan and me talk about all the things every Sunday here? Do you ever wish you could see what we're laughing about so much? Especially what Magical's laughing about? You're in luck. Subscribe to our YouTube channel and see the fun clips and outtakes from the show, as well as our super special series, Friends by the Fireplace, that we release every Friday. Finding us on YouTube is easy breezy. Type Culture Club HTX and voila, you're in.
It's Culture Club HTX
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
From the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Lisa Holland-Nelson and Siobhan Robert-Shriver.
And back.
Hi.
I'm Lisa Holland-Nelson Bowman Lombardi. I could go on, but I'm not. I am the fashionista. Bio babe, meaning biography.
What?
Not biology.
What?
Transaction person. Is that what I mean?
Transaction queen.
Transaction queen. And Coach Nelson, the greatest football coach who's never walked a sideline, co-host of Culture Club HTX, here with my beautiful, blessed, brilliant, bossy, black bestie.
Siobhan Robert-Shriver, the other half of Culture Club HTX, executive producer, eighth wonder of the world, and parliamentarian, working hard every day, folks. We're in here. We're in your favorite segment, your food group.
Fashion, I'm in fitness. My food group, fashion, fitness, and wellness.
So what's up with Blushington
this
Beauty
is pretty
Salon?
Cool. I mean, I honestly, until I read this article, I did not know it, which, you know, I hate not knowing this kind of thing.
No, I had never heard of it.
But it's New York-based luxury beauty salon, Blushington, will open its first Houston location at 3601 Westheimer Road in River Oaks this spring, bringing upscale blowouts, makeup, and skincare to our city, hungry for streamlined, high-quality beauty services, led by former oil and gas trader turned entrepreneur Courtney Frells, who comes from a long line of successful entrepreneurs. She convinced the brand to finally franchise in
Texas.
Oh,
really?
She did that, which makes it even cooler. I mean, but it is a high-end beauty salon and all the stuff. Founded in 2011 by sisters Steffi Cohen and Nikki Moran, the company pivoted from corporate-owned stores to a franchise model during COVID, opening doors for local entrepreneurs like Frells. And so basically, this location will be the brand's only Texas outpost currently, with the second one coming in Memorial Air Store planned, but no details yet announced. Really cool.
I think. This will be interesting because I'm thinking that I feel like we have a lot of beauty salons and places, but perhaps we don't have a place where you go. I mean, boutique maybe kind of used to be that place.
I don't
place.
Know. This is sleek and chic, it looks like.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm saying because you do your hair, you do your nails, you do all the skin. I mean, you do everything, right?
Yeah.
So this is someone's getting married. And like I said, there used to
one stop shop.
Yeah, for everything.
Yeah.
And I know I'm thinking about it. I'm like, no.
I can't think of where you do it all.
Back in the day, I feel like boutique used to be one of those places.
Okay. But, I never went there, so I don't know.
But yeah, they had everything. Like it was full service.
Well, I had makeup services in their blowout salons and stuff.
Yeah, they did the nails. They had spa and skincare upstairs.
Yeah, Renee, K Renee does that maybe.
Yeah,
but
K Renee's
like leased out to different
people
providers.
Okay, got it.
So the store is going to anchor their Texas expansion, full suite of services built on the brand's reputation in New York, and honestly, in this article. The investments to get the franchise, including the initial investments, are ranging from $585,000 to
$805,000. So not
that
a whole lot.
Not a whole lot. That is very reasonable.
Mm-hmm. And, so this is interesting. I know you love this, that the whole idea is the one-stop shop because so people don't have to battle the Houston traffic to get from appointment to appointment.
I know that's I'm in favorite. The beauty segment. I'm not discussing traffic.
Okay. So speaking of, what's Selena Gomez doing? Rare Beauty. You know,
well,
her line.
Business is Rare Beauty,
yep.
right?
Yep.
So it's going into Ulta at 1,500 Ulta Beauty stores and online February 1st, 2026. It's the brand's first retail expansion since its 2020 Sephora debut. Wonder if it's staying in Sephora. Or just
I don't know, but you know what? You know, she has been one of the. You know, there was this big boom of all these people who weren't fashion people doing fashion things. But I feel like Rare Beauty has been one that has been consistent, and people seem to like. I mean, here we are; they're expanding, so that's kind of a big deal. Because there used to be. Do you remember? I think everybody had makeup and perfume and whatever,
yeah,
and now you
well,
don't they were really
all licensed. I'm not sure that this is licensed.
Oh,
most of them were licensed to big cosmetic companies.
So they're just using their name.
Yeah.
So that was
other
the first,
than Rihanna.
That was their first you know, the first that, name image likeness deal.
In a sense. In
no,
a
I sense. Mean it really was.
Well, even the big. Even smaller companies like Laura Mercier, it wasn't Laura Mercier's company. They knew that it was brilliant to go get a famous makeup artist. So they did.
Ah.
So she was the face of the company and I'm sure had some licensing fees or even partnership
oh.
fee. I don't know, but it was the company was owned by other people.
Okay,
yeah.
So they were the first. Okay,
in many
so
cases that happened.
I know we're in fashion, fitness, wellness,
well,
however.
That's it.
But I'm thinking... Should the NIL people be talking to these people to try to figure out how to do it properly?
Well,
like from a name,
some,
image, likeness
well,
standpoint,
I think somebody, you know what I mean? When we go to NIL, somebody with real, true licensing, long-term business needs to get involved.
That's what I mean.
And so far, it just looks like the money grubbers.
No,
well,
but
it does
but
to
you
me.
You know what I mean? But I'm
it's
saying,
the Wild
like,
Wild West.
This was really like this.
This
now
was
the,
really
the
and
first
it's
name.
20 years ago, it started with Trish McAvoy.
So she
and
wasn't. It wasn't her
Bobby
brand.
Brown and. I mean, they were people.
No, yeah,
and,
of course.
And somebody underwrote Trish's line. I mean, Trish is a skin doctor or a facial person.
Right.
She wasn't a makeup person. She was an esthetician.
Oh.
Her husband was the plastic surgeon in Manhattan.
Okay.
And, you know, her clients loved her, and they decided to do a cosmetic line. But she was a name. She put her own name on it. So that was, and it was an Estee Lauder.
But she wasn't the chemist making the,
no,
you know,
she
mixing
wasn't.
Up
and
the
then
stuff
along
in the back.
Comes
okay.
Bobby Brown. Who was a makeup artist.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she started her own thing until it got big enough for Estee Lauder to buy it. And then it got huge.
And, then
and now she started the next
the
version.
The other thing, yeah.
Because she likes being involved.
Yeah.
And we all know that one of my favorite people in the world, Janet Gerwich from mm-hmm. Houston, Texas.
And former Neiman's executive, yeah.
Yeah, started Laura Mercier. They recognized the opportunity in the market. Someone came to her and said, who's the most famous makeup artist you know right now? We should start a business.
So is Laura Mercier, was she a Houstonian or where did she
no,
come from?
No, well, Laura Mercier is a French, actually, to
oh,
begin
okay.
with. She was Madonna's makeup artist.
Oh.
So it's so easy to build anything around her 20. I mean, think about it.
Yeah, no, no
Whose
joke.
Makeup was anybody looking at more 25 years ago than Madonna's?
No, this is true.
And several other, but especially Madonna.
Huh.
So, and then more people, of course, came after it, but then it transitioned, which is very easy to celebrities.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's an easy transition. Why wouldn't Cindy Crawford do Pure Beauty or whatever her brand
and,
is called?
But what about that house line she did? The room store.
She was.
She
just
had
a
some
face.
Furniture. Yeah,
yeah
but
no,
it's kind of same thing,
never,
right?
No, she was a spokesperson.
Oh, okay.
For this, supposedly she's claiming it's hers. I don't know if it is or not.
Okay. We should get her on the show and ask her.
Yeah.
Should we call Cindy and ask
she
her?
She really does look wonderful. I'd love
she,
to
I
see
saw her
person.
At El Tiempo. She's in Houston often for reasons
well,
unknown to me.
I'm trying. I don't know why.
But she is. And I saw her
maybe
at El Tiempo in Richmond.
In
and I was just like, she's beautiful.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah. Like, you know, you see people and you're like, no, she really is.
She was always beautiful.
Yeah. She's
some
beautiful
of the
human.
Other people, you know, were like, maybe not traditional beautiful. Great looking, fabulous models, all the things. Cindy Crawford is a traditionally beautiful.
Yeah, she's beautiful.
Yeah.
So anyway, this is very interesting. So, you know, I've never used any of Selena, Gomez's stuff, but I know a lot of people do. And
she's raising charitable funds too.
Yeah. I mean, it actually seems like it's called the Rare Impact Fund. It seems like it's a good thing all around.
I think it's great. I do.
And we don't have any new news to report about our, you know, Neiman's.
Not yet.
Not yet. But
we will soon. And then the last little story here is so cute.
What, talk
this
about
this little fashion forward story where Pinterest wins Gen Z with their privacy first strategy.
Hello.
You know, I haven't thought about Pinterest in so long since my millennial stopped really. I don't know if she uses it, but it's not shared. Well, it doesn't seem that it's shared anywhere anymore.
Nope. Nope.
How smart of them. And they just grown like crazy.
Yeah.
600 million hits a month. I mean,
well, and
active.
Here's the thing. I had a whole situation that I'll tell you about later that we've gotten to the point where there are like so few sacred spaces, so few places that you can go that are just private, which is why our salons, which are coming back and we'll announce those dates soon, are just, people love them. It's almost like as soon as you walk out of your house, it's you are consenting to be photographed and
all the things.
And it's like, no, I'm not. I will punch
like,
you in the head.
There's no permission anymore.
Yeah. And so now I think that people are craving spaces and places where you can have private things. Like, you know, even if it's just like your design for your living room or bathroom or whatever. So, yeah, shout out to Pinterest. Shout out to Pinterest.
Yeah, congrats.
And one of the quotes was, young people feel like they're having to perform all the time. So in that world, privacy is even more of a premium. Hello, folks. Who's been saying that? Me. People want privacy. I mean, it's gone too far, right? We've just gone off the deep end.
I'd like to say that.
What?
I wanted to, but
what?
It's not convincing.
What? What's that?
I do want my privacy, but I want it where I want it. I mean, I haven't backed away from a lot of cameras in my life.
Oh, millennial over here who's like, come on, let's take a photograph. I told you, you should have been either president, first lady, or prime minister or something. Maybe, you know what?
Should we have a prime minister?
We should make you prime. I mean, hell, it sounds like you do whatever you want to do in the United States of America these days. We're going to make you a prime minister. Okay.
I like it.
Stand by. We will announce Lovely being prime minister. How are we going to make that happen? How can we make that so?
And this was fashion, fitness, wellness, and ending with my most wellness, you know, whatever I may be.
We're going to make you prime minister. Okay, folks. All right, cool.
And with that, we have to close it.
We have to close it. What do we want people to do?
We want people to be bold.
Be elegant.
Be focused.
Be fit.
Be fabulous.
Please.
We are going to stay fabulous.
So join us.
Led by magical.
Led by magical. Join us in 2026 and ride the fabulous train.
We're riding the fabulous
train. We're riding
train.
It all the way in our white, right? Neither of us have on white
today.
It's fine.
Black.
It's fine.
I started to let you know, but I didn't even have
you don't,
to.
I mean, come on, it's us.
I mean it. I was going to text you earlier and I forgot.
It's us. Of course we were wearing the same thing. All right, folks. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.
At Culture Club HTX, you know we want you to stay fabulous, which is why we've teamed up with Dr. Michael J. Streitman at Westlake Dermatology and Cosmetic Surgery. Dr. Streitman prides himself on delivering the gold standard of care to his clients. He's board certified and performs surgery in the private surgical suite at Westlake, as well as provides non-invasive services like Botox and fillers. If you're ready to receive the gold standard of care, make an appointment with Dr. Streitman today at westlakedermatology.com. And be sure to mention that Culture Club HTX sent you for a special treat.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
When you choose LG, you're not just getting a TV. You're getting more of everything you love. More entertainment, more innovation, more control. LG TVs are built to do more. With OLED and QNED displays that deliver breathtaking color and contrast. Smart AI-powered features that make streaming, gaming, and searching effortless. And ultra-slim designs that turn your screen into a statement piece. It's performance you can see. Technology you can feel, and reliability you can trust. Get more out of every moment at home with LG.